Welcome to Pierce the Podcast. I'm Mike.
And this is Orlando, and we're on episode 245, and it's time for a themed episode, finally.
Yeah.
So the reason we haven't been doing theme episodes, we've been really busy, right? There's a lot going on, and we'll have another update episode. But we wanted to talk about the summer, right?
Things change in the summer, but as Orlando
like the seasons or what?
Yeah, the leaves are what happens? I mean, I live in a state that doesn't really have seasons, so I don't know. I guess things change, but whatever. It gets hotter. But people often talk about summer slowdown and things getting bad. But like Orlando just said, we've been crazy busy. Part of it's personal life stuff, but part of it is just reselling is still really busy. And we're moving into a time where things change a little bit and you kind of have to change your perspective and mindset. But we didn't want to just do like another, oh, it's just summer slowdown.
Yeah. Or like how to beat summer slowdown. Now, we are titling this Maximizing Profits in the Summer.
That's right.
So, because it is still possible to have a very profitable summer, but kind of wanted to talk about everything that is kind of reselling encompassed in reselling during the summer. Now, this is going to be, it's crazy. We're entering the fourth year of Pierce Podcast. Isn't that wild? That to me is wild. And it's also my fourth year entering into being a full-time reseller, which is wild to me because I remember my first year going, I'm going to end up homeless. Like, I'm not going to make enough money. And sure enough, it worked out. So before we start, yes, full-time reselling can actually be done. It just takes a lot of hustle and a lot of work, and it takes time. But what I wanted to talk about was summer, because I feel that there's a lot talked about summer, right? Like Mike had said, there's summer slowdown. Then there's, you know, others that are like, hey, just go on vacation. There's no point. Retail is done. And then there's, you know, you just keep doing what you're doing. I think there's a good mix that could be done during the summer. So I just wanted to share our experiences as to what we do during the summer during reselling, because I think it'll bring value. It'll be helpful. And, you know, not every part will relate to you, but maybe a lot of it will. So let's take a look real quick. But before we get started, I did want to say thank you to everyone that showed up for our Zoom. Buymeacoffee.com/purehustle. It was a small, I would say it was an intimate session.
No, it was great.
But yeah. It was great. Yeah. Like, it was so much value. And we learned more from you guys that showed up than we learned from what we shared.
Yeah. No, for sure. So it was an awesome opportunity. I don't know. We're going to call that our coffee sessions.
What I just called it on accident?
No, but I'm just saying, like, you know, since it's Buy Me a Coffee, this is our, you know, it's coffee time.
Coffee sesh.
It was great. And we're hoping to have more of these. And so if you're a Pure Hustle Podcast, Buy Me a Coffee supporter, you know, check when we mention that we're going to be doing another one, check your Buy Me a Coffee. Yeah. So I think the messages go through there. There may be a way we can send an email out, but I think it defaults to just sending it to your account through Buy Me a Coffee. So we'll be sending more invites and more Zoom links. We'll talk about them ahead of time when they come up. But it was a great opportunity to just, you know, chat with some of our supporters. So again, thank you so much for those of you who go to buymeacoffee.com/purehustle and you support us financially, because it's what's able to keep this going. Like, literally, it keeps the lights running and keeps things happening in the studio.
Literally, it does.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, it's that membership that gets you into being able to do the Zoom calls, and we're calling them virtual meetups, and we're hoping to bring more stuff to the table as, you know, our support grows. So thank you so much. And we're grateful for everyone. We're grateful from the people that just write us great reviews on iTunes to, you know, you buy us a couple coffees because you're like, hey, that was a great episode, or you sign up for that membership. Just grateful for each and every single one of you. So thank you, audience.
Yeah.
All right. So before we get started, I wanted to talk about summer expectations in reselling.
Yeah.
What do you think I'm referring to here?
Well, I mean, when I first started reselling, it was the summer. And so I didn't really experience the quote unquote summer slowdown because I was just building my store. And so I had nothing to compare it to. And because I was new, I feel like the algorithm kind of rewards, you know, new accounts in a sense.
I think it does.
Yeah, you know, it wants to hook new people. So I didn't really experience the summer slowdown, but people talk about it a lot, and it's something that gets talked about in a way that I think causes a lot of fear and anxiety. And I think it's important to understand that summer slowdown, what people are saying when they're saying that, is in general across, you know, every market that's a retail space market, the total number of sales is less than other times of the year. It's one of the lower times of the year. And part of that, even with reselling on eBay, I think we've got to expect that. We talked in our last episode about eBay reopen, right? Where it's all the different things that are in hot demand right now. But some of the things we talked about in the hot demand are things like, hey, selling beachwear, selling, you know, things for people going back to work. But a lot of people haven't traveled in over a year. A lot of people they haven't been doing the beaches. They haven't been doing all these things.
I just saw a news article about that. You know how I talked about my Southwest Airlines points? Mm-hmm. There was one that said that airlines are now having a major problem because people got so many points during, you know, what just happened over the last year. And so now they're not going to make any money off of that, mm-hmm. right? And so now they're actually dropping the value of those points, right? But again, there's going to be an explosion of traveling.
Yeah, but one of the bummers though, so they're what you have to do is you got to kind of change. You got to move to the expectation of, okay, you can change the things you're buying and selling. However, when people are out at the beach, when people are going to parties, when people are going to barbecues, they're not stuck in their house like a typical winter time where they're not going out and they're just scrolling through their phone buying stuff, or during quarantine where people are stuck in their house. As people begin to go out into the world, there's going to be less time spent buying things. So I think there's going to be not only a dip, but just kind of a dip in what we've been experiencing in COVID sales recently and over the last year. However, that doesn't mean that there's not profit to be made in the summer. And that's really what we want to focus on, is because that expectation can be the summer is just a waste. I'm just not going to try. And you can't have that mindset.
So, yeah. So let's go with that a little bit. And the fact that, as we talked about, if you want to check out our last update episode, we talked about how eBay put out this list of items that people are now looking for in the summer as a result of being able to travel. So they talked about, you know, people are looking for formal wear, right? Because there's a lot of weddings or there's events happening. They're looking for sandals. They're looking for luggage. They're looking for beach attire. There's a full genre of stuff that they're looking for. And so even though you may hear it across the board, right? And I don't know why this happens, because again, I am counter to all this and I disagree with summer slowdown. I do think things slow down. I think that does happen. But I also believe it's very much based on what you're selling, right? So if you're trying to sell, you know, certain items in the summer that would sell better during Q4, they probably aren't going to sell as well, right? Now, you also have to remember, like, for example, Sorel boots, right? Sorel are a pair of snow boots. There's a bolo for you. That's so well, and they still sell well for me in the summer. Why? Because there's places like Australia and other parts of the world that are experiencing winter while we're experiencing summer. So it all depends on what you have. And so the key thing is taking a look at trends, taking a look at, you know, what's coming up. Because here's the thing. A lot of stores, right, they sell things before the season starts, right? And by the time the season begins, let's say summer season, a lot of the summer items that people are looking for are no longer available, right? Because they're already thinking about fall. And so the place they go to is online, right? And so they look at online providers like eBay and Amazon and other platforms, and they start looking for stuff. So the key thing is understanding that, yes, there's still buyers out there. It's just making sure that you have the right items listed at that moment in time. And it, maybe, you know, it doesn't hurt to maybe raise the price on a few of those items because, you know, not just because of inflation, but because there may be greater demand. Now, you got to play that out, right? Because you also don't want to price yourself out of the market. So you got to play it well.
Yeah. And kind of along those lines, and this, I've used this example in a previous episode, so I'll use it again. And this goes for a lot of different niches. And so I don't want to list them all and maybe ruin somebody's strategy. But a common one that I saw, I grew up in the desert. And so, you know, all of the people growing around us, we all were desert rats. And in the wintertime, everybody rode dirt bikes. You're out riding dirt bikes all the time. That's what we did during the winter. But during the summer, it's way too hot to ride dirt bikes. So all the desert rats became river rats, right? Like everybody just went over to the river. They took boats out. They went jet skiing. And so you would see that during the summertime, if you wanted to buy, you know, used motorcycle stuff, everybody was selling it in the summer because nobody's doing motorcycle stuff. That was the time to get a deal. But if you were a reseller, you either were trying not to sell your stuff that time, or you were going to be selling it for dirt cheap because people just aren't buying it then. And those same people, they think about the way people switch, right? Like, so that's a good example. You got the desert rat, river rat, right? Like the same people are doing both things different times of the year. And so you've got to look at during the summertime might be a time where you have to say, hey, maybe the niche that I'm in, it drops. But what are the people, if that niche drops during that time, all those people probably have a couple of other things that they do at the same time, right? Is it the beach? Is it something else? Is it certain clothing they wear? So what is the season and how can you jump in? So if you know your audience well, or if you know your clientele well, who's buying what, you can switch what you're sourcing in order to still meet the demands of those individuals who are already frequenting your store.
Now, along those lines, I will say something controversial. And I do believe that the summer slowdown is a myth completely. And I think it's more of a myth now than it was a year ago. And this is why. Buyer habits have changed, right? We've seen the data that as a result of what took place for the last year, that more people have gone online than ever before. And now people see the convenience of not having to go to a storefront, not having to go brick and mortar. Now, some people still like the experience, but I think a lot more people have become more efficient with their time during this last year. And I think they're more willing to buy online. So I think, and this is just me, and I, you know, in 3 months, you can say, Orlando, you were dead wrong. And I'm fine with that. But I do believe that we're going to see continuous. I've even seen in this last 2 weeks of June, I have not listed, and I've had more sales the last 2 weeks of June than I've had all year.
Yeah. But that still doesn't mean like, so you, I feel like you got to be careful when you say that, because again, that's, you might be experiencing sales right now, but you can't deny, the statistics. The data are very clear that people spend less money in the summer than they do in the winter.
True, but there's new data from this last year that people are buying differently.
But you, last year was a unique situation, right? Buying differently doesn't mean that they still spent more money Q4 2020 than they did the summer of 2020.
Yeah, true, true. I don't think we're going to have Q4 numbers in the summer, but I do think that individuals have now gotten accustomed to, you know, buying on eBay, buying on Amazon, buying online. I mean, I even think about the basics of, I never walk into a Target anymore. The reason I don't is because they have that drive-up service. Like, why would I go into the store if I can just go online and tell them what I want and they will go up to my car and hand deliver it to me? There's no purpose in me walking into a store.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think that that argument, I think that's a good, like, buying habits have changed, but I still don't think that that means that people are going to be spending as much now. Because like Q4, obviously people are buying for holidays and, you know, whatever. Then the start of the year, Q1, you've got people who are getting tax returns. You have all of that happening. And then you get into the summer and it's like one thing that I've learned is people in general, it's not, of course, everyone, but if you live in a place where it gets really hot, people eat less in the summertime. Because when you're really hot, people tend to drink more water and they're not as hungry. That just people don't eat as much during the summertime. And of course, there's also people trying to like get into summer shape and stuff. But physically, you're less hungry. Your brain sends less hunger. There's something that changes in the summertime. And I think it's the same thing with buying habits. People, if you're going to, if you're on vacation, you're buying things maybe on vacation. But while you're on vacation, if you're on a cruise, you're doing this stuff, the things people do during the summertime, they're not spending money in the same velocity as they do other times during the year. So I think their buying habits might change, which might have moved people over. But then again, if buying habits have changed across the board and more people are buying online, then are all of our other times, seasons of the year, all of the other quarters of the year are going to still be higher than the summer is going to be. And of course, it's going to be, you know, your niche dependent. If all you sell is sandals and sun hats and sundresses, then of course, summer slowdown is not going to be a thing for you because that's when you're selling items. But in general, I think summer slowdown is not a myth. I think you just have to recognize that it's going to be lower, but then what do you do about that? How do you go about attacking the summer so that you still maximize your profit throughout the year?
So let us know in the comments. What do you think? Do you think Orlando is crazy? Do you think that Mike is right? Do you think Orlando is too dependent on this last year and that actually things will go back to normal and things will slow down and people will be willing to go back to brick and mortar stores? Interested in your thoughts. I honestly do believe I don't think we're going to have as great a summer as we did in 2020 because that was an anomaly, but I do think it'll be a far better summer than if you remove 2020 than we've had from 2000 to 2019 online.
Yeah. But again, I feel like the false dichotomy is we might have a better summer, which again is a good thing. We want to capitalize on that. But if throughout the year more people are buying online, most of that money is going to go to other times of the year than the summer. So comparatively, the summer is still going to be purchasing wise a little slower.
I think, slower than the rest of the year, but it's not going to be slow.
Yeah.
That's my argument. Like, I don't believe that it's going to be a time of slowdown. Now, we will talk about stuff if things do slow down and what to do. Now, the other thing you got to be fully aware of, and I have to be aware of myself, is that when things slow down, sometimes it's my fault, right? I'm traveling, I'm on vacation, I haven't been listing, you know? And so you may go like, I haven't had a lot of sales, but it's always good to take inventory of like, what did you do the last 2 weeks? Like, were you sourcing? Were you listing? Were you taking offers? Were you shipping on time, right? Sometimes things slow down because we slow down. Like, we decided to take a road trip or you know, fly to another state or travel the world, whatever you decide to do. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think sometimes we miss that? Like, we forget that, like, things aren't happening is because we're just not putting in the work?
I'm sure that's certainly part of it. Part of it's routines, right? If you've got kids at home and maybe they go to a public school, and while they're at school, maybe you get home or, you know, they leave before you do. Who knows? Whatever the situation is, you're in a routine. And so the times you list, the times you source, the times you're taking pictures could change. All of a sudden in summer, they're there. And so now your routines get messed up. And the other thing is, a lot of times my wife and I recognize like, hey, this is a slow time. Like, things aren't going to be as hot and popping right now. And so this is the time that we are going to change because, yeah, we could put in 50% more effort and be making the same amount, or we could do the same amount of effort and be making less, or we could take it a little bit easy, make a little bit less even, but just knowing that it would take a lot more effort to make the same amount of income over the summer. So we might as well take this time to focus on other aspects of our business or businesses that we run, and maybe say, hey, this is the time. Maybe we work really hard the rest of the year so that we can slow down a little bit during summer slowdown. But yeah, definitely your habits are going to play a role in that too. I mean, if your inventory is in your house, right? You might be in a state in California, for instance. You kind of have to decide whether you want to eat groceries, like get groceries that month, or run your air conditioning. Sometimes it's AC is expensive. So when you're hot and you don't want to be listing and packing and all those things, you definitely might slow down just because it's just not comfortable and convenient to do those things. Or if you're going outside or you're going to sheds and you're going to storage units, it might be a lot easier in the winter than it is in the summer. So our habits definitely change, which plays a role in that. But it kind of is maybe a good thing if you are going to slow down, that you slow down when everybody else does. You probably don't want to slow down Q4.
True. So I just throw that out there because I've noticed myself that there's times where I'm like, wow, like things have really slowed down. But I start taking inventory. You mentioned school, right? When my kids are in school, I have a lot more time. But now that they're home, right, that takes up more of my time. So maybe I'm not sourcing as much. Maybe I'm not listing as much and so on. So just, you know, it's a good time to be, you know, spend some self-reflection and go, okay, why are so slow? Is it just because things are slow, or is it because I've slowed down myself? All right. Hey, before we get moving on to our next section, I want to talk about, which is during the lull, like what do you do when things slow down? I want to talk about American Bubble Boy because they have not slowed down their shipping. Their shipping is still amazing. I see it all the time on Instagram. People are posting and tagging us. Hey, tag us when you buy from American Bubble Boy because, you know, you heard it on the previous podcast or on Instagram, just so we know that, hey, we were able to, you know, just affect the sale that is going to help you out, helps us out, and helps American Bubble Boy out. But they're shipping, next day shipping, 2 day shipping, local pickup. I mean, it is quick and efficient. And so, if you haven't had a chance yet, check out American Bubble Boy. Link is below in our description. Thank you to all of you that are purchasing through them. The owner, Joel, I was just talking to him a few days ago, and he was talking about how awesome Pure Podcast listeners are because you guys make an effort to tag us, to let them know it's because of us. And I really, really want to say thank you and appreciate all of you. So again, AmericanBubbleBoy.com, and don't miss out on that awesome packing material from their website.
Yeah, link in the description.
Yes. All right. Let's talk about during the lull.
Yeah, this is where the mindset shift comes. You got to kind of change your paradigm. We talked already, like, if you're going to slow down, maybe the summer is the time to slow down. But I think the better way of doing this is, and we kind of talked about this a little bit during our coffee session, is you kind of have to look at your business the way a business would look at a business, right? A company like Target, and of course, we're not a multi-billion dollar industry, or we're an industry that big, but as a seller, we're not. So how do we run our business in a similar way that any brick and mortar or any big business would run? Well, they typically do yearly budgets, right? They have an understanding of here's what we anticipate to make, you know, in the year. And then they do quarterly reports. However, it's the year thing they're trying to make, right? Like this year, how much money did Google make in 2019? How much money did Target make in 2020? These are the numbers they're looking at. They're looking at big years. And then as they look at data, they might break it down into months. But when you recognize that you're going to have some months where the sales are really high, but maybe during those months, sourcing, getting inventory, listing, all of those things, you might not have time for because you're just like constantly shipping out the inventory that's selling that you already have. So you kind of have to have a shift in your mindset of, if I'm running my business on a yearly basis instead of like week to week, which is not where you want to be, you might want to look and say, I need to make X amount each month in order to make things work. But let's say just for to make it simple, if you say, I need to make $500 a month as a side hustle to make reselling worth it, okay? There might be times in the summer where you're bringing in 250, but then there might be times during Q4 where you're bringing in 1200, 1500. And so it'll average out to be what you're looking for. The thing is, people often have the mindset of, I made a ton of money in Q4. I'm just going to spend it and buy some new toys. And I only needed 500. I made more. I'm just going to buy I'm going to pay myself extra this month. Instead of thinking this is to cover for the summer that was a little bit slower. And so once you have that mindset shift, then the summer doesn't become so much of a concern of how much money is coming in and inventory is going out, but how can I utilize this time to make sure that when things really pick up, when things start to ramp up moving into Q4, that I'm prepared? Do I have the inventory I need? Do I have the organizational systems that I need? Do I have I got a lot of stuff listed? Do I have all of these things? Maybe this is the time to get your books in order, right? To get caught up on your books, to make everything so tax time is a little bit easier. So you've got to use your mindset of, I'm a business operating on a yearly basis instead of a week by week. I'm just trying to survive.
I think that's a great way to see it. So I have actually thought about that too, because, you know, things do at times slow down in the summer, right? And so—
No, that's a myth.
No, it is a myth. I mean, I would say, for me, they do slow down in the sense that there's a couple weeks where it's like, it's not that great, but you're always like, hey, later on in the summer, it'll catch up. And definitely Q4 ends up being that catch up time. Now, what do you do on the practical level? Like, so for me, I like to spend the time to organize. Like right now, I'm doing a ton of organization. I have my helper. And so I've been dropping off totes. She's going through all the totes, making sure everything has a custom SKU label. And I'm finding a lot of missing inventory in my listings. Have you had that happen?
A couple of times, not too bad.
I mean, it's pretty bad right now. I would say probably, I mean, I have close to 2,500 items in my store. I would say probably 50 to 100 items.
Wow.
Like that just weren't on eBay's. Like, I don't know what happened now.
Were you sure they were listed?
They were listed, 100%. I remember creating the listings. And some people had said it's because there's no item specifics and that they dropped them. Others have said it's because the algorithm that after time things don't sell, things get dropped. I do agree with others that were saying that sometimes things sell and then you forget to relist them when the person doesn't pay, right? That happens a lot, I think. Whatever the reason is, spend the time to organize. Like if you started reselling, all right, this past year, okay, and sales were high, and now you went from one tote to five totes, or maybe 10 or 20, or you have a closet, or you have a room full of stuff and it's not organized, use this time, right? Because when things heat up in Q4 is not the time you want to be organizing, I promise you. And it's not the time you want to lose items and be spending an hour or two trying to find that item, because you're going to be missing on profit, especially if you're trying to do some retail arbitrage or you're trying to ship items out on time. It's also a time to check your shipping supplies. Think about what you use, right? Order now. Don't wait until Q4, because sometimes there's a slowdown from the post office and things do not arrive on time. I order a ton of supplies in the summer, so I'm ready for Q4. And so it's definitely a time to look at, hey, what did I use more this last 5 months than other items? Is there some gaps I need to fill? Are there some, do I need to buy more tape? Do I need to buy more boxes? Maybe I need to get a larger light box, Okay. Or maybe I need to get a smaller light box, or maybe I need to get, you know, I just purchased a couple, well, now three Z-Racks, so I can have easier access to my jackets and coats. And so this is a time to make all those scenarios happen, because you don't want to be dealing with that stuff in a few months. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is maybe it's time to branch out on your sourcing, right? The fact that at this time, maybe there is a lull for you, and maybe now's the time you can go to the thrift store and spend a little more time, research the items you haven't looked at for. If you haven't sold on Amazon before, maybe now's the time. There is Prime Day during the summer. And so
I think it's happening right now, isn't it?
Is like it right now?
Really soon. Or maybe they're just announcing
June,
the...
I thought it was June 20th.
I think they're announcing the sales for it, because I've seen like all of the Amazon ads of like lightning deal and see what's going to be on sale for Prime Day. Like it's coming soon.
Yeah, I think it's like the third week of June. I could be off. My internet is not responding right now, but I'm pretty sure it's really soon. But here's the deal. Like now's the time. Hey, you know, because this is kind of like a primer, right? If you can figure out how to sell on Amazon, it's June 21st. If you don't know how to sell on Amazon and you want to get in Q4, maybe now's the time. Maybe it's the time to, you know, go and do some research and find maybe some hot toys that are selling, or it doesn't even have to be hot toys, right? It could be whatever housewares, or it could be whatever item is out there that is selling on Amazon, and go, you know what? I want to test the waters now. I want to learn how to do merchant fulfilled. So then when Q4 comes, you know, I'm not trying to figure and learn this out, because there's a whole thing. Like, let's say on Amazon, one of the examples that I learned, you know, in the last few years was the best day to do Amazon Prime merchant fulfilled was on Thursdays, because on Thursdays you can ship stuff out priority and you usually never have to do second day or next day, because it just has to get there by Monday. And if you can ship it out, you know, by Friday morning priority, you're good to go. Right. So it's a time to learn other platforms and test them out and then go, you know what? I'm comfortable doing merchant fulfilled. Or maybe it's a time to finally send in an FBA shipment, right? You send it now. So then in Q4, you know exactly what you need to do. You're not fumbling around trying to get stuff out there.
Yeah. Or this could be the time where you focus on learning a new niche, right? So Orlando already kind of mentioned you go to a thrift store, maybe you're researching items you don't normally research. But if there's something you've always wanted to look more into, like I've got a lot of niches, I've been getting into tools. I've got a couple of videos on tools already. But there's a lot of times where it's like, man, costume jewelry, I don't really know much about this, or antique pottery or glassware, I don't know much about this. So there's a lot of times where you go places and that's okay. It's okay to know where you fit in and know the things that you buy, and to maybe that saves you time. But if things are slow and you're like, you know what? I walk into the store and I know shoes and I know vintage clothing and I'm just not finding it, or I'm not finding the things I normally pick up. Spend that time to learn a new niche, because within a year or two, you might realize, hey, now I've got another thing that I can pick up, and that expands the total amount of potential profit you can make every time you go to a garage sale or an estate sale or a thrift store, or even buying pallets, right? If you're like, man, I don't know anything about, you know, power tools, but here's a pallet of stuff and, mm-hmm. you know, I wouldn't buy it because I'm going to waste my time. But once you've sold a few things, you'd be like, oh, that's worth money. So it expands your ability. And if you've never done things like pallets before, now might be the time to say, you know what? I normally spend, you know, $500 a month on inventory and I've only spent $100. So, you know, I'm going to try and find a maybe not a whole pallet, but a box of some returns or something for a few $100. And that's how I'm going to source this month and do something new, do something you haven't tried before. And you might say, this is definitely not for me. Or you might say, this is it. This is my new jam.
Yeah. And same thing goes with retail arbitrage. You've never done retail arbitrage. You know, you just want to test it. I think now is the time, because again, you might go, hey, I've done really well doing it this way, but things are kind of slow. This might be something that you learn that you can like fill in those gaps in the summer or, you know, in the winter or whatever it is to help you out. Now, this one gets tough, because this all depends on your capital, how much you're able to spend, your storage space. But I do a lot of sourcing for Q4 in the summer. I don't start in June. I usually start late July into August. But one quick way to do this is go on Terapeak and see what sells well during Q4, right? What brands sell well as far as like clothing, or what kind of shoes sell well. Because some of that stuff may be at a lower price, right? You may be able to even do some retail arbitrage at the outlets because things are clearing out. Now, it's going to require you to buy and hold, right? So you got to be aware that I would strongly not recommend buying stuff on credit cards, because that would mean you're carrying the interest charges and your credit score is going to go down. If you've been listening to us for a while, you know I had a whole summer where I bought out Toys R Us in June and my credit score got down to, I think got down like the 600s. And, you know, it bounced back, but, you know, things just kept getting worse and worse because I had dropped a lot of money. So be careful. But I would say definitely look at sourcing, because you want to be ready, right? You don't want to end up saying, okay, Q4 is here. All right, time for me to start sourcing. Now, there are some things you have to wait for, right? The hot item, the toys that people are looking for. You know, generally those are kind of hard to guess. Some people play that game, and I think it's like a roulette wheel. Like if you buy up a bunch of toys and you're like, I think this is going to be the hot thing. I don't know. Unless there's previous history to it, it's kind of hard to be able to do that. But I strongly recommend thinking about whether you're sourcing for retail arbitrage or whether you're sourcing for secondary goods. It's definitely a great time to be sourcing, because not everybody's out there looking for stuff. So have you done any of that at all? Like bought ahead?
No, I mean, it's too dangerous, especially with things like toys, to try and buy that.
Oh, I agree with toys.
Now, yeah. There are other things where there's tried and true, where I'm like, these things sell during Christmas time, and I know they do, and I don't mind starting to pick them up now. Now, it's really tough to pick up things that I know are kind of like gag gifts or things that people are going to buy for white elephants. I always bring that up because that's something this last year didn't happen because there weren't as many parties. But I'm not going to pick up the white elephant gifts in January, February, if I know they're just going to sit all year. But as I start get closer to Q4 and I'm like, you know what, these things sell, or things like Christmas sweaters and that kind of stuff, I'll start picking up that stuff now, or things that might be good for Halloween. Like I picked up one of my ride along garage sale videos, and I picked up that really creepy doll, that creepy Pennywise. That thing, I've had quite a few offers on that are pretty good offers, but I know I can make more. And I'm like, you know what? I'm okay holding this closer to October.
I'm kind of surprised,
because I know for a fact that it's going to sell full price in October, right? Because it's going to be Halloween and doesn't take up very much space. So there are definitely certain things that I'm like, I'm willing to start buying them now. Now, if I was going to drop that kind of money, I probably earlier on in the year wouldn't be dropping that kind of money on stuff that I'm hoping to sell on Halloween or Christmas. Huh. You know, so I think that I do start to buy early. And I think summer is about the right time for those seasons, right? We come into a lot of holidays, right? You're coming into a lot of different celebrations. And even things like 4th of July, right? What are some things you can maybe be picking up, or people are going to be having barbecues and stuff like that. So I'll pick that stuff up a little bit early and shift towards that. And Terapeak is a good use that you can use. And then also just past experience, right? There's certain things that I buy at Target or Walmart that I sell on around Christmas time, and they're usually not in stock all year round. But as I start to see them come into stock, it's like, all right, I'm picking these up now because I know they're going to sell and they don't take up too much room.
Agreed. All right. So we're about to get to our last section about maximizing, but we do have our hustle of the week that we need to talk about. But before we do that, hey, if you haven't been following us on social media, we are Pierce Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and did I forget the other? TikTok. So we haven't been on TikTok much. I'll admit it's probably been like a month, and it's just because of the move and everything. And so we need to get back into making TikToks here eventually, or I need to get back into it. And TikTok's changing. Did I talk about this? Like pretty much every TikTok is somebody talking. So maybe they need to change the name. No pun intended. All right. You can find us on, we're not on Clubhouse that much. I think Clubhouse is a great app. I think people still use it, but we're on there sometimes. But we're also Twitter. So Clubhouse and Twitter, we are Pure Hustle Cast. If you ever want to get a hold of us, though, I strongly encourage you. We are very active on Instagram out of all the platforms. We're trying to keep up on all the platforms. And we're grateful for everyone that follows us on Facebook and the other platforms. But Instagram is our go-to for now until we can eventually, you know, get back to the other ones. If you want to leave us a phone call, 619-738-1170. That's 619-738-1170. We've had people on Instagram DM me and say, hey, can we share bolos? And I'm like, hey, if you want to call it in, we'll play it on air. So hey, feel free to call us, or if you have any questions, you can always email us to purehustlepodcast@gmail.com. It's purehustlepodcast@gmail.com. And as always, we're grateful for all the reviews. I think we're over 450 or pretty close to 450 on reviews on iTunes. It greatly helps us. If you haven't had a chance yet, please head on over. If this podcast has impacted you in a good way, leave us a positive review. Yeah, and even just a little note. I mean, all you can say is, you know, do it for the algorithm or whatever it is, just something. It would be great. And we're also grateful just for the fact that our YouTube keeps growing. And thank you to all of you that subscribe, hit that like button. And most importantly, I think it's that bell notification.
Yeah, so that's how you're going to know whether or not we're dropping new content. And we've been pretty consistent. Usually it's Friday or Saturday, we're dropping a video. Wednesday, our episodes drop and they're on YouTube also. So if you're listening to this on podcast and you want to see our domes, you can do that.
And then, on Mondays.
That's right. And on Mondays, we drop a mix of things. So sometimes it's like a short 15-minute like theme episode, kind of like this, but very short and focused. Sometimes it's something different, a how-to video. So definitely hit that bell notification. Otherwise, you're not going to know. And I think I haven't talked to Orlando about this yet, but I think we're going to do another live here before too long.
Yes, because we finally can.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm excited about doing another live. So if you don't have that notification, you're not going to know when we have that stuff planned. So definitely hit that notification.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to live. I miss hanging out with all of you guys. It's been a minute. It's been like 2 months of a minute, maybe more. So looking forward to that. And by again, I know I already mentioned this, but one of the reasons is because of buymeacoffee.com/purehustle. Where, you know, we got internet up and running, we got lights, we got everything going. So really appreciate every single one of you. All right, are we ready?
Yeah, we are ready.
Come on, hustlers. It's the freaking hustle of the week. DJ Mike in the house.
All right,
bring it.
Our first one comes from Jonathan Lynch, IG handle at The Golden Merchant. So usually does retail arbitrage, but
he's a repeat guy.
Nice. Usually does retail arbitrage, but decided to do thrifting. Welcome to the dark side. Came across a huge lot of boxing gloves and groin guards. Now those are important. You probably want those. Paid $75 for a set of five, for several sets, about five of them. And selling a set for $450. So they're Grant Worldwide Boxing Gloves with Goran Gardle.
Guard. That's called Orlando's typo right
there. Gotcha. And has turned $75 into $1,600 in sales. Holy smokes.
Definitely a bolo. Like, I looked them up online and I'm like, what is going on? Like, because I've looked at boxing gloves before and I'm like, what? And sure enough, yeah. If you look at Grant Professional Boxing Gloves for good money. So a nice pickup there, Jonathan Lynch, the Golden Merchant, for that pickup. And by the way, here's the thing. He diversified too. Like, he is known. I can't share what he sells, but he's been killing it selling a lot of retail arbitrage items. And then he went to the thrift and it supplemented his income even more.
Yeah.
So, all right, this next one is another repeat guy, John Ford Bennett, IG handle at Ford Benz, and went to the store that shall not be named. I think all of our ones are thrift stores here.
Nice.
So I went to the store that shall not be named and came across a vintage single stitch t-shirt on a rack for $10. And I can't say I haven't found an expensive shirt, but I haven't found like a vintage single stitch shirt that goes for a lot of money. I think I've sold some for 50 or 100, but this one was. He listed it. It was a. Let me take a look. Sorry, looking back to it, it was a vintage Nirvana Kurt Cobain death certificate T-shirt. It's kind of dark a little bit there.
Yeah, it's pretty dark,
right? And this is easy to miss. So you should definitely look this up on eBay. Again, Nirvana Kurt Cobain death certificate T-shirt. Remember, paid $10 and he sold it for $275 free ship.
Yeah, you're definitely gonna be doing a little bit more thrifting, I'm sure, after a sale.
I know. I gotta tell you, maybe Mike and I just don't know what we're looking for. Maybe it's just not a thing in San Diego. But
Procter & Gamble, Ben & Jerry, supply and demand. These are pairs that changed the game. But when it comes to business growth, it's you and Shopify. From that exciting moment you launch your online shop to setting foot in your first real life shop. And gasping as you hit that millionth order. Shopify's beside you, cheering you on. Selling shipping supplies, or maybe promoting productivity programs. It doesn't matter. Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Their all-in-one e-commerce platform? Check. In-person POS system? You bet. Turn those casual browsers into loyal buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. Did you know it's up to 36% better than other platforms? And there's more. Meet Shopify Magic, your AI-powered MVP, making your life easier. Fact time. Shopify powers a whopping 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. They're the driving force behind big names like Allbirds and Brooklinen. And guess what? They support millions of entrepreneurs across 175 countries. Oh, and did I mention their award-winning support team? Always there, every step of the way. What I love about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/purehustle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/purehustle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/purehustle.
I can't think of a single time I picked up a t-shirt that was worth over $100 in San Diego.
Yeah, but even that, $100, it's not bad.
No, it's not bad. $275, it's not bad at all.
That's great.
Good job, John.
All right, our next one comes from JP, IG handle at Northwest Thrifter. Was also at the store that shall not be named, dun, 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 and came across a pair of Nike Air Jordan shoes for $15, listed on eBay and sold a pair of Nike Air Jordan one-off white shoes.
No, one Jordan one off-white.
Jordan one-off.
No, white. Off-white.
One-off white.
No, Jordan 1 off-white.
Jordan 1 off-white.
No, no.
I'm just kidding.
What's that?
For $1,200. So $15 to $1,200, that is a one-off for sure. The fact that you're able to pick up a pair of shoes for $15 and sell them for $1,200. I mean, you know, I was pretty happy when I, you know, pick up a pair of shoes for $4 and they sell for like $150.
Of course, yeah.
But to be able to pick up a pair of shoes and sell them for $1,200, that is definitely hustle the week level right there.
Yeah, great job, JP. And again, those off-white shoes, like you never know. Like that's why I always say research. Like don't get so comfortable, because if you were to look up these Nike Air Jordan 1 off-whites, like some of them you can tell that they're money, and some of them you're like, it's just a basic pair and you might not pick them up, right? So yeah. All right, Northwest Thrifter. That's I've picked up shoes that are money here, though. I can say I have done that in San Diego. So, all right. What is your hustle of the week?
So, that video I was talking about where I picked up that scary doll, I think it was at the same swap meet. So, I went to a swap meet and
That's awesome to me is that you sourced at a swap meet profitable items.
I have yet to fail at the swap meet. Not that I always walk away with huge amounts of profit, but like I'll usually walk out and like I at least made $100. Okay. Right. So I've never like walked in and completely lost. Right. Like I usually make a little bit of money. But one of the booths that I went to is not my typical booth that I would go to. Like this is clearly somebody who like resells, like their booth that,
okay,
you know what I mean? Like some booths are obvious that it's just like somebody clearing out their garage, and other booths, it's like they're here every single week. And in fact, the person that I bought it from, I bought two different things. One of them was a Raytheon Ray 100 submersible handheld radio. It's like a marine radio. Mm. And the other thing was a Radio Shack like audio test meter thing. And it was either $10 or $15 for the both. I can't remember what it was. If you watch the video, you'd be able to tell me whether it's $10 or $15. But it was either $10 or $15 for the both of them. And I've sold both of them already. And during the conversation, the person was like, yeah, usually whenever we get any radio stuff, there's another guy who has a booth that's here every week and he walks by in the morning and anything radio we have, he just buys it. Huh. He goes, but he's not here this week. So they sold me this stuff and they both sold within a week of listing for about $40 to $50 each. This one that I most recently sold was $42 plus $8.99 shipping. Didn't have the charger to it, but it worked with batteries. I put batteries in. Oh, I should have checked with my wife if she took the batteries out. I might've given him some AA batteries too. Hey. So he might've got a deal on that. But either way, it's always nice when you can do something like that. And it just goes to show, like there's some booths 100% I won't stop because it's very clear. It's just like racks of like similar things and they're trying to charge high prices for. But some of them they're in between. They'll be willing to negotiate with you. If they're there every week, I kind of consider it like my wife used to be in the marathon running world. And so we would do, she worked for a company that put on marathons. So we'd always do trade shows. And every time we'd go to trade shows and do it, put up our booth, we recognized every other person putting up booths, right? Like they were like carnies. They would just travel across the state or across the country. And that's what I feel like a lot of people who do swap meets are. They know each other and they're consistent. But some of these people, they're not just buying things and like have like high-end prices. Some of them recognize that they want to move inventory quickly. And so they're willing to work with you. So I was able to negotiate. I was able to get the price down. And these items turned out to be profitable. So it was a hustle of the week because it was already a pretty good day outsourcing. And then I picked up that crazy doll that I'm going to make well over $150 on. Plus, I've made probably a good $80 after shipping and fees and everything on a submersible marine radio and an old Radio Shack that didn't, I couldn't test it because I did the battery, there was corrosion and I didn't have a 9-volt. So I just listed it untested. So nice. Don't be afraid to go to swap meets and check booths that seem to be like resellers because some of them are willing to make deals because they just want to move inventory.
Now, do you think, let's say when you first started reselling, you would have been able to go to the swap meet and be just as profitable?
Oh, definitely not. I mean, part of it is okay. Now I know certain things to look for, even like tools. So I know you don't do tools. That's one thing that I'm doing more that you don't do. But most of the time, there's some booths where it's just like all they have is tools and they know what they have. Okay. And other booths is like just random things. And there's just
like a little estate clean out or something.
Yeah. And there's just like some random tools in a box or something. I can now look through a box really quickly. And I'm sure I'm leaving money on the table still, but be like, ooh, here's a Craftsman wrench that's, you know, a good size and it's going to sell for $15. And you know, how much for this? And, you know, 50 cents. Done. Right. So I've definitely learned a lot throughout the time. And then part of it, too, is my negotiation skills have gotten better. And I'm not afraid of people telling me no. Like I'll look at something and if they don't give me a good price, I'll move on. Whereas before I'd be like so stuck on I want to make this deal work, you know, so I've definitely grown a lot in that sense. But the swap meet, if you don't do those or maybe flea market is what they're called in your area, but they're definitely worth checking out because one, it's a cool community. Like I said, like I hope I didn't offend anybody by saying carnies, but there's people they travel a lot of times. They'll do multiple, like on one day they're at one swap meet and the next day they're at another swap meet and they set up their booths and they know each other very well. And once you've gone several times, they start to get to know you. I mean, there's some people that I buy from almost every time I go, they've got different stuff. What do you have this week? And they know the things I look for and like, I've got, you know, I found another board game. Yeah. So, it definitely helps and, hustle of the week.
All right. So the only reason I asked that is because I used to go to swap meets like 5-6 years ago, maybe 7. And I just couldn't find anything. Right. But I do wonder if now, based on the knowledge that I have, if I'd be a lot more successful.
Oh, yeah. You should go.
So I think I'll go. All right. So, you know, I always get shade for like holding on to items for a long time. Okay. So 3 years ago, we're going to start 3 years ago, probably around the same time the podcast started. So we're starting the fourth year. So that would be 3 years ago, right? Okay. I came across a garage sale. And at this garage sale, they had a ton of vintage McGregor. So MacGregor. McGregor. I just had to spell that out. Yeah.
Look it up. You'll find it.
Okay. Backpacks. And it was wild because I knew that they looked vintage and I knew that I could probably sell them for like, you know, 30 or 40 a piece. So I asked him and there was about 10 of them. And I said, how much would you do for all these backpacks? He's like, you know what? We're just trying to get rid of them. How about $2? And I was like, $2? Sold. Like I didn't haggle. I didn't say anything. And I grabbed these backpacks. I thought these were going to be like instant sellers, right? So here's a problem. Two things. One is I picked them up and I'm not a fan. So at that point in time, I didn't have a lot of space. So I didn't even have a light box at that time. And again, we all start somewhere, right? So at that time I was buying the two foam boards from the dollar store with the white vinyl table cover. And that was like my setup for lights. And it was always a pain to get that set up. And the backpacks were huge hiking backpacks. So then I would have to like double up on the foam board. Like it was just a lot of work. So I let those sit for like 6 months. I didn't even list them. Right. And on top of that, they had this kind of weird. Does hiking material get a weird smell? Do you know what I'm talking about? That weird smell?
Yeah, it's called sweat.
Is that what it is?
Could be.
I don't know. So
I'm just sitting in totes.
Yeah, I just let it sit out for like a long time. And a lot of the smell went away, too. So eventually I got around to listing them during this past year, you know, the event that stopped everything for us. I'm trying to be careful with the algorithm here, right? And so I finally listed them. Now imagine, I had these items by the time I listed them for two years. So I finally listed them.
At first I thought you said 6 months. You had them like 6 months before you listed them.
Oh, did I? Okay, no, sorry. Okay, let me, I'm not, I thought I was going to list them at the 6 months. And then I remember like, I was like, ah, never mind. And then I shoved them in my, I called it at that time, the C word closet. C word meaning what we dealt with this last year. And I kept it there and I didn't look at it. And that's bad. Don't ever hide your death piles because it gets even worse. Then you never look at it. Then it really becomes a death pile. Like you never will attend to it. So when things went down, I listed them and they sat around, right? It's been a year since things really got crazy. But then out of nowhere, I had somebody, they offered me $130 for one of the backpacks. Now remember, I bought 10 for $2. Okay. Now, I think on Insta, I put 25 cents or 50 cents. Right. If you average it out, that's what it was. So was it worth me holding on to those backpacks for all the time? 100% yes. Because even if I paid 10 cents per backpack, right? Let's do the math, right? 3 years till it's sold. That's $3.60 in fees that I paid. Okay. Totally worth it. So I sold one. The guy had a problem with it. And he's like, hey, can I get this other one? Can I switch it out? And so always be careful when people ask you to switch out, have them cancel and then repurchase the other item. So they did that. So I sold one backpack for $130. And then the algorithm is tricky because I find when you start selling items that are similar, more items are going to sell around that same kind of group or that same brand name. So the day after, I sold another one of those backpacks for $100 plus shipping. So I spent $2 for 10 backpacks at a garage sale, paid $3.60 in listing fees. Okay, so let's make my total cost $5.60. And in total, I made a net profit of over $200-something, and I still have 8 backpacks left. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to throw it out there. We're going to talk about this in an update episode. 3 more of those are going to sell by our next update episode. Just saying. Because I think the algorithm does weird stuff like that. So keep an eye out. McGregor hiking backpacks. They are quality backpacks. I just don't know why people weren't buying them. But now people are buying them. So that is my hustle of the week. All right. Let's get to our final portion. Before we do that, though, this is 2 days of me not shaving my head with the skull shaver. All right.
Yeah.
Right? It still looks clean, right? I think. I don't know.
Why are you waiting 2 days, man? Don't be so lazy.
I'm moving. Skull shavers, like, things are busy.
The skull shaver is so easy. Like if you haven't picked up a skull shaver yet and you need one, and you know if you need one, maybe you haven't admitted it out loud yet. Maybe you haven't said the words. Maybe they haven't come out of your mouth. But you know, I think there's some people holding on and it's just time to go. And it's time to bring it down. And if you are already doing and shaving your head and you're using a razor, the chances of nicking yourself and hurting yourself and the time it takes is just so much higher. And the chance of missing, whereas the skull shaver promo code Pure, you're going to get a good discount. You're going to let them know we sent you and you're not going to spend nearly as much time. And you do not need to go 2 days because it takes 5 minutes to shave your head.
Not even 5 minutes, 90 seconds.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And you're good to go. It feels great. No nicks and it's baby smooth. I'm just going to say baby smooth. You know what I'm talking about. So make sure to pick it up if you need it. And again, you might, and just say it. Just say the words out loud. It'll make you feel better. It's time to cut the hair. Bring it down. It's all right. We've all been there.
Okay, so go to skullshaver.com.
Bald can be beautiful. And look at us. Our promo
code is Pure, P-U-R-E. All right. Let's wrap this up here and let's talk about how to maximize. Like, you don't want things to slow down. You don't want to lose profit. You got bills to pay or you had a vacation you wanted to take care of or whatever reason you wanted to make money this summer. And the stuff I'm going to talk about is the same thing that applies any time of the year when things are slow. So let's start with the first one. If you don't have an eBay store and you have more than 50 items, I strongly recommend you have an eBay store. And this is why. Run sales. Run sales, run sales, run sales. Even if it's just 15%. Right? If you want to up it more, you can up it to 20% or even 30%. It's all up to you about how much you're willing to give up. Now, remember, if you thrifted or you bought these items at a garage sale for like $1 or $2, I mean, what's it going to hurt, right? If you sell something for $50. Like, yeah, you might not sell it for the $60 or the $70 you're hoping for, But that's $50 in your pocket that you wouldn't have if you didn't run that sale, right? So I strongly encourage you to run a sale and then taking low offers. Now, are you taking more lower offers now? Oh, yeah. Should we even admit that on this podcast?
Yeah, I mean, it's not super low. Like I have some respect. I have some self-respect and I'm not gonna give my inventory away. But at the same time, I'm not as stingy, because I think part of it is as you get more inventory, you're not as concerned mm-hmm. because you know things are going to sell and you're going to make a lot of money. When you've only got 10 items listed, man, it hurts when you take an offer and it's like, man, you know, but when you've got hundreds of items, I agree. Yeah, it's not as big of a deal and you're selling more things. And again, like you said, sometimes it just comes down to, it's better just to move items. And there's the argument definitely to be made. If you can't source, like if you're at a place where you're not able to source enough inventory, it's really hard for you to find good inventory. You might need to hold on. You might need to wait till you get full price. But if you're able to source, if you're able to constantly pick up more inventory, you might as well take the deal and just get more capital and get that money moving in other places. And in the long run, you'll be better off. Now, of course, it doesn't scale 100% perfectly. You can't just say, well, now I'm going to buy, I turned $100 into $1,000, so I'm going to go buy $1,000 worth of inventory. I turned $1,000 into $10,000 this month. I'm going to buy $10,000. Eventually, you're going to have a law of diminishing return where you're just not able to source as much as you're able to sell. And that's a good problem to have. And that might mean it's time to look at some other ways of sourcing. So,
agreed. Now, I will say, you're right. Like, I've learned to take lower offers, and I don't know if it's listeners, I don't know, but sometimes I'll get some crazy offers. And again, I will not entertain items that are less than 50% of the offering price. Mm. Like, unless it's really, really slow, I'll take it. And the reason being, I do believe that it triggers the algorithm. The other day, I shouldn't admit to this. There's a pair of shoes. I think I had listed for like 90 to 100, and I took an offer of 35. I was like, oh, that hurts. But then I sold a pair of shoes for 212. Then I sold another pair of shoes for 60. Then I sold another pair of cowboy boots for 40. So would those sales have happened? I don't know. But I do believe that accepting that first initial sale triggered the other sales. Just throwing it out there. Don't know. Let us know in the comments. Is Orlando superstitious or is that facts? Just let me know. Now, the other thing, we share this a lot. To me, it's eBay like seeing you be active. So a couple ways to do this, right? And we'll talk about the ultimate way. One is send offers. I just saw an Instagram post by ThriftZilla where he always sends offers when they pop up. And I used to be about sending offers early in the morning or late at night. Now I send them whenever they show up. And this is why. Because we've talked about how eBay has it that you can send an offer to someone if they are heavily browsing your item within 15 minutes. And so, you know, ThriftZilla, I post on Instagram how somebody would just look, it said in their messages, hey, I was just looking at this item and then I saw that you sent an offer. Would you be willing to take this amount of money? Right. So that person may have just been looking and would have just closed their phone and gone about their business. But the fact that at that point in time, they were sent an offer ended up converting to a sale. So be active in sending your offers. Whenever they come up, I send them all day long. Now, I am a full-time guy, so obviously, I need those sales to happen, but I strongly recommend if something comes up, just send it. Have a template ready. Have a template so you don't have to spend too much time writing and you're ready to go. And the other one is listing. Now, do you believe listing? This is the ultimate one. Do you believe listing is the way to make more sales?
It is in a lot of ways. And whether or not it impacts the algorithm, I think it doesn't matter. I think maybe it does. And if it does, you're going to get the benefit of that. But even if it doesn't, if you've got, and I think I mentioned this on the previous podcast or a previous podcast, and I gave an example of if you're selling 100 items every month or 50 items every month, whatever number it is, and you're able to list at least that many items, chances of getting your sales are higher. Now, if you're not listing that much, eventually those sales are going to drop because the total number of inventory items you have available is going to be lower. And it's like we've mentioned, if you walk into a store and all the store has is 2% milk, every single aisle, every single shelf is just 2% milk.
At least it's not skim milk.
Yeah, which is just water lying about being milk.
Thank you, Ron Swanson. Yeah. I just saw that episode.
Did you?
Yeah.
Unless that's what you're looking for, you're not going to buy anything. If you walk into a store and they've got a variety of things, you're not going to buy everything in the store. but you're going to buy a few things, right? Because it's the things you're looking for. And it's the same thing. If you're listing enough items, the chances of a buyer out there looking for one of those items is higher than if you don't list it because they can't find it. So even if their algorithm doesn't play a role, which it most likely does, because eBay wants to suck sellers in and get you so deep into eBay you can never leave.
I think there's some truth to that.
Yeah, but even if the algorithm, even if they were to turn whatever algorithm system in that sense that they have off, just listing is going to increase the probability of finding buyers no matter what. So you're definitely going to be better off listing. That's 100% going to help you regardless of whether or not there's an algorithm that says, hey, Mike hasn't listed in 3 days. Let's punish him. Or, ooh, Mike listed a whole bunch the last couple of days. Let's help get him some sales so he sticks around. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I do think there's a direct correlation. I do believe that, you know, I see your point with the inventory, because I can tell you, like, during my move, I didn't list for weeks and I still was selling, but that's because I had a large enough inventory, like you said, and I had quality items, right? My sourcing has improved, and so I kind of know what will sell regardless of the time of year. That I actually have a lot of repeat buyers that whenever I post something, they're willing to make a deal. So there's that component. There's also the other component of, you know, if you're listing, you are maybe in the summer, right? You're still not going to get those sales. Like you said, maybe regardless of what you do, but hey, guess what? In Q4, think about how many items you're going to have ready to go. Right. So you had mentioned earlier in the podcast that maybe Q4 makes up for the money that you lose during the summer. You got to look at it that way. Like, I remember there was two summers where I thought there was going to be a summer slowdown, and I listed like there was no tomorrow. We're talking about, you know, several hundred a week, and it came through. Like, I never experienced a summer slowdown. And then during Q4, I had a bunch more items in my inventory to sell. So list. To me, that's the number one thing you can do. Now, you have to list items that sell too. So let's add that little asterisk to it, because if you list a bunch of junk, it doesn't matter how much you list.
That's right.
Okay. Now, this last one's going to be unpopular, or maybe there's more of an ROI in spending time with friends and family than in making money. And I don't know if everybody agrees with me. But hey, if things are slowing down and things are slow, take that time with your family.
Yeah. And even if you don't have family, because I mean, obviously I'm a family man, but if you're not, let's just say you're on your own, but you got hobbies and you spend all your time working. There are some people that literally is the life-giving thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is their hobby. That's what gives them enjoyment. So that's you. Then that's how you're going to enjoy any kind of, you'd enjoy that more than a break. But most people, you need to recharge a little bit. And so even if you're like, you know what? I want to spend a couple of days just playing video games, laying out on the beach by myself, whatever it is. Even if you're on your own and you don't have family, sometimes that recharge can bring you back like 10 times the level you were before, right? It's like working out. I think the idea of overtraining a lot of times is more of a myth than people realize. It takes a lot to technically overtrain. But even there, like there's a place for taking time off, taking a couple of days off, deloading, right? Like if you're working out with heavy weights, you go a week or two where you lower the weights and you kind of give your body a break, and your mind needs that break. And so having some time where you say, you know what, if sales are going to be slow, maybe I'm going to work just as hard as normal, or maybe take it down a couple of notches, and I'm not going to kill myself to make the same amount, knowing that I'll just make it up in Q4. And I'm going to rest now, because I know I'm not going to get this rest in Q4. And so take a Sabbath, take some time to relax, spend some time with family, spend some time with friends, and enjoy your hard earned money, because the goal is not who can have the biggest bank account when you die. Because if you didn't enjoy some of that money, if you didn't enjoy some of the freedom that money offers, what's the point?
Agreed. And again, you can get easily burned out, right? You can be working. You're not seeing sales come through. And then you're like, I can't take this anymore. And sometimes just taking that break and spending that time off allows you to feel refreshed and go in, late July, August, and prep for Q4. So I'm a big advocate of, you know, realizing your profits earlier than later. Again, when you're starting off, I think I would say 90% of, or 99% of the money you make from reselling should go back into reselling. But we've also read The Richest Man in Babylon, right? Where you got to pay yourself first, but you also, there is the ability that if you have a little bit extra, right, why not spend that time since things are slow anyways? And because, again, you can always make more money, but you can't always make up that time with family and with friends. So hopefully this episode allowed you to maximize your profits in the summer, all the way from, hey, what to expect, what to do on the low, and just how to maximize things to ensure that things don't slow down. And with that being said, make sure to be real,
be relevant,
and be reselling leads.
Peace.